Can we stand up with our Bibles and let me prophesy? I'm Prophet Moses and I want to prophesy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a statement, a sentence in a verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. It says, no, that's not where we are going. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. That's what Apostle Paul was saying when he was going to talk about the resurrection. He was going to talk about how the rapture will take place. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. There are so many mysteries that pertain to salvation that are hidden there in the Bible. The mystery of redemption, the mystery of salvation is so deep, I'm telling you, that when God opens your eyes to see it, it is very interesting. So many things happen in Christendom until we are confused. What is happening? You are seeing people serving God wrongly, holding Bible. But you are seeing anointing flowing there, nyafu, nyafu. Amen. You are seeing fornicators, occultic people, 419, liars, adulterers. There are men of God that are changing their wives like rapper, and yet they come behind the pulpit and see testimonies. See anointing. See crowd of people following them. And you that try to stay with the Bible, people will not listen to you. They will call you names. I show you a mystery. Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's pick a text from there. You want to know, ba? Ezekiel chapter 14. Let me just pick a text from there, then we'll sit down. One verse. Verse 9. Ezekiel chapter 14. Verse 9. Can we go? Amen. All of us together, if you go to school, you can read. 1, 2, 3, shall we go? And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him. I will destroy him from the midst of my people, Israel. And the church will say, amen. God bless you. Be seated. And I'm looking at a little exhortation here that are titled, Deceived by God. Can God deceive somebody? Yes. God can deceive somebody. Praise the Lord. And there are people that are holding Bible, going to church. But it is a lying spirit from God that is leading them to serve God the way they are serving Him. Just take what I'm saying very seriously, because it is an answer to a question in my heart and a question in every true believer's heart. You're worshiping with us for the first time. May God open your ears to catch what we are saying in the name of Jesus Christ. You're hearing me say some of these things for the first time. Then you are blessed. Those of us who have heard it before, we are also specially blessed. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. All I'm praying is that you just get the impact of this mystery. What it achieves? It achieves two things. For you to take an inward look at your Christian life. Apostle Paul, as he said, examine yourself. If you be in the faith. Examine yourself if you be in the faith. It makes you to take an inward look at yourself to know whether you are in the right way or not. In which part
of God's program are you? Which part of God's program are you? Because my attention was caught to a statement in verse 16 of Job chapter 2, where he mentioned something. He said, the deceived and the deceiver, they are mine. He said, God, he said so. God, he said, they are his. He said, the deceived and the deceiver, he said, they are all God's. It's a mystery, brother. It's a mystery. Didn't God say he created everything? He created both good and evil. He said he created the evil for what? He said he created against the evil day. He created evil so that on the day of evil, he will release the evil on the day of evil. So both the deceived and the deceiver, they belong to God. Is he not the creator of Satan, Lucifer? Did he not know that Lucifer will turn against him? And still created him. Amen. They are his. I catch something in the Bible. God called Nebuchadnezzar my servant. He told Jeremiah to prophesy to these people. Praise the Lord. To Israel. And to all the nations, he said, all these nations around, including you, Judah, he said, I have given to my servant Nebuchadnezzar to rule over. Then if anybody will not yield, submit yourself to his rulership, he said he will cause his servant Nebuchadnezzar to hammer you well. Praise the Lord. That's the God we worship. Amen. He called Pharaoh his servant. Hey, servant of God, listen to me. There's nothing to be proud of that you're a servant of God until you are sure what type of service you are rendering. That's the mystery of redemption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am called. Nobody should argue with anybody who is called. But what type of call? Make your calling and election sure. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because it's not everyone that is called that is choosing. And yet many are called, but few are choosing. You have to catch that. Because Peter was called, Judas was called by the same Jesus. But where did Judas end up? And where did Peter end up? That's the mystery. Let's read it from verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 14, to get a proper picture. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put a stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, Thus said the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that set up his idols in his heart and put a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Hey, if you are hearing that for the first time, catch the impact of that. If you catch the impact of that, your eye will open promptly. The balls of your eye will nearly come out. To see how God works. He's saying here, yes, as believers, every Christian wants to make sure you are walking in the perfect will of God. That is why, before we do anything at all, before we take any major decision at all, it is normal for a Christian to go and inquire of the Lord. That's why there is the office of a prophet in Israel. That's why there is the office of a prophet in the church. Amen. That's why. Now, you are coming to God to find out whether you should travel and relocate from Nigeria to Vietnam.
Because like that, then they go now. All Europe don't know all their tricks. So they are going to Virgin Land where they never know them too much.
But you have made up your mind.
Amen.
What are you going for?
Amen.
Now you know the purpose for which you are going. And you have made up your mind. Nothing will stop you from going there. You've made up your mind. Even before going, you have already applied for your visa. You have given money to whichever agent that told you you should go. And then, but they remember, say, make I go find out from God. Oh. That is the idol in your heart. You have made up your mind. And then you are going. He said, he, God himself, will come and talk to you through that prophet according to the idol of your heart. Thus saith the Lord, the way is open to go to where you want to go. This is the man you must marry. Whether anybody like it or not, this man get money. This man don't suffer. I can't suffer again. As my mama suffer for my papa's house, man, I'm not going to suffer for any man's house. This man get money, nothing. God, you go understand. You go understand. You have already agreed with the man that will marry. In fact, he has been taking care of you for some time. The wedding is coming near now. So that God no go say you didn't come to him first. Make I go pray. Then you are going before a recognized prophet. Before you open the door, you don't call your name. Are you not coming because of Brother Guru? Yes. The Lord said, that is your husband. Then you are coming. Hey, God is saying, that's my husband. That's my husband. That's my husband. He said, he, God, is answering you according to the idol of your heart. So, it's not every thought, said the Lord, confirming something for you that is actually the perfect will of God for you. It is God giving you what you want. You already had it in your mind and you are coming before God. He will give you according to how you have determined before you came to him. Let me read it again. Verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that set up his idols in his heart and put a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and coming to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. See the reason? That I may take the house of Israel in their own hearts, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Nobody wants to walk according to the law anymore. Sister, is it not written in the Bible that you should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers? Is that man a Christian? And you are coming to the Lord to ask him if that is your husband. Did you not know the law? You've been moving up and down with him. He has slept with you, tie yourself. And you are coming before the Lord. You see? Therefore say unto the house of Israel, verse 6, thus said the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, of the stranger that sojourned in Israel, which separated himself from me, and set up his idols in his heart, and put a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and coming to a prophet to inquire of him, concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 8. And after he has answered you by himself, and I will set my face against that man, I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And that's why so many of us, after marriage, I'm using marriage as an example, we suffer. You begin to cry, oh Lord, but I prayed, you told me this is my wife. I prayed, you told me this is my husband. How did you approach God? That a Christian man and woman cannot live together, it is because you have no respect for the word of God. A Christian man and woman, you did not marry in unbelief before you came to Christ. You sat down, you were born again, you went to another supposedly born again man or woman and yoked yourself together. After marriage, no peace. The only reason is simple, you were hypocrites. You were hypocrites. You did not care what was God's standard for marriage. I hope you know that somebody is worshiping in the same church with you does not qualify him automatically to be a good partner. And I didn't say you must marry somebody from your own church. You may be here, your wife may not be here. Your husband may not be here. It's true. But let it be that you have a standard. And if you are not ready to live your Christian life ruled by the word of God, then you are not qualified to be married. And but you want to be married, yet you are not qualified to be married. But you are coming before God. God himself will give you the idol of your heart. Thus said the Lord, that is your husband. Then after you enter, at that time you go, no, say, God deceived you to marry that man. But I also want you to understand something. It is not every prophet that God uses to give that type of prophecy. Do you hear me? That is why you understand the next verse. Verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. So, prophetic, God can deceive you. Who again? Chayola? Joseph? All of you? Zephaniah? That's the truth. This is to make you fear God. I read it again. And if the prophet be deceived, when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. Now, see. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people, Israel. Oh, so it's not only you with the idol in your heart that went. It is also that prophet. Anytime I read this verse, I always want to meditate to understand it. And I have not completely understood that verse. But so far, the little I have understood in that verse, I am not afraid to say it. There may be a deeper meaning to that, but the little I understand, catch it with me. If why will God come and then use a prophet to lie against somebody? Not be the prophet lying. Now God tell him as usual. Then after that, you go turn again and destroy that prophet. One reason I catch is this, praise the Lord. Those people with the idol in their heart, it is not every prophet they can go to. They know the type of prophet to visit. Yes. They know. They know that if I visit this prophet and I carry money, if I give, I go enter spirit. Yes. But there is a Micaiah. Oh. And you cannot try that with. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not every prophet. It's not every minister. It's not every minister. Can anybody come and meet Pastor Moses and tell me that this money where I want to pay for tithe now from cocaine? Can you? Even now, where they find money like anything? Eh? Because we need money here now. That is very well. We need money. Eh? Then you come and tempt me. Can anybody come and tempt me with that? mention cocaine and you are bringing money, before you leave, I will curse you. You are insulting my God. You are coming to insult. You are insulting me. Insulting me. You are. That is your own way of rating the kind of minister I am. And something must happen to you for you never to try it again. Something must happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why a prophet will be dealt with. Let me finish that reading. Verse 10. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. Hey. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, saith the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 4. Now, the Jeremiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5. I read from verse 5 up to verse 10. Amen. Listen to, it's another very interesting one. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard towards Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Now you have to understand what the Lord is saying here first. As at that time, the whole land of Israel, everybody was prophesying, all the prophets were prophesying, peace, peace, peace. When Israel was in an apostate estate, gone into idolatry, put the law of God aside, go and hurry with idols. And but every time all the prophets were saying, it is well, it is well, it is well. It is in that estate where they are saying, enjoy, it is well, that God will open small window, make Jeremiah see what they come to a people that they were saying, it is well. See what is coming upon them. Verse 6. Set up the standard towards Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentile is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this guide you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, said the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Verse 10 is my emphasis. Then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived these people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. That means those prophecies that we are going on was from God. Thus said the Lord, it is well, ye shall have peace, ye shall have peace, ye shall have peace. That's why the Bible says, when they shall say peace, peace, what will happen? Sudden destruction. How can you say peace when the Bible says it shall not be well with the wicked? There is no peace to the wicked, says the Lord. And sinners are sitting down there and listening to preachers in this age, telling them, peace, peace, it is well, it is well, it is well. And when we come in the same medium and tell the people that it is not well, oh, you cannot serve God like this. The people will not listen to you. Why? Because it is prophesied that the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers with what? Itching ears. Teachers to tell them what they want to hear. I have had a denomination that the members of the church had to protest to the headquarters for their pastor to change because the man was always condemning them. The man was always preaching against sin. And that the former pastor was not like this. Made them bring him back. This one is too hard. It's too hard. And the headquarters queried him for preaching in a way that the people don't like. And they transferred him from there. Yes, now. You want to spoil their business? With itching ears. They will not endure sound doctrine. Church, from the time you were a child, Apostle Paul was telling Timothy, until now he said, thou hast known the scriptures, the holy scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Because it is not every scripture here that it can make you wise unto salvation. If you are looking for salvation, it's not every scripture that can make you wise, give you wisdom that you will follow and save your soul. I'm telling you. And the scriptures, we expect every true man of God to emphasize, specialize, dwell, stand on, and emphasize more on those scriptures that will make the people wise unto salvation. But these days, because of what the people like to hear, at church, listen now, put on your television and get them. Almost every church now, particularly in Nigeria, they're having channels. Yes. And spending millions of naira every month to retain that channel. Yes. But you sit down, you that want to go to heaven, you that you are looking for something that will help you make your Christian life better, to be closer to God, to prepare yourself for home going, and listen to them. If there is anything they say there that can affect your soul, that can make you go back to your bed in the night and kneel down, take an inward look at yourself and offer the prayer, Lord, have mercy on me. Nothing. And the worst are these ones that attract crowd. Hundreds of thousands of people, when they have their programs, the whole road is closed. Go slow. And always, I have tried to listen to some of them preach, even in those crusades, until I ask, what is the attraction that attracted this crowd to come? Certainly, there are people that when you go and meet them and tell them, show them simple Bible truth. Lie. Show them correct water baptism. Lie. Show them about the Godhead. Lie. Show them. There are some of them that carry their churches on their head. When you meet them on the road, their pastor has taught them, if you jam arm robbers, or you want to get accident, anything, what should you say? I am a bride. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God of bride answers prayer. Yes. Heaven at last. Listen, church. That is not Christianity. You carry your church on your head. You and your church will perish. Why? The Bible tells us God's own chosen place of worship is not in any church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something funny happened during worship to me here. It's a personal thing, but I can share it to my shame.
I was in the spirit. Watch me there. I stood there and I said, Lord, you know you are sitting there. You are sitting there. See us with the worship. Release your blessing. Release your blessing. And the voice spoke to me. That is idolatry. I turned immediately. Father, have mercy. Father, have mercy. God is not sitting in any particular place. God is a spirit, and they that worship him where? His spirit and in truth. His spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. People didn't know what was going on here. I was telling God, have mercy. I can never be an idolater. That seat is symbolic. Hallelujah. God is everywhere. He's where you are sitting now. He's where I am now. He's everywhere. Where two or three are gathered, he is there. He's there. He's there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, he, the only place where your sacrifices will be acceptable. I think that's Deuteronomy chapter 12. He said, it is that place where he, God, has chosen to place his name there. And God did not place his name in any building. God did not place his name in any ministry. God placed his name in a man. And all worship is in a man. In words, in deed. In Christ Jesus. And unless you are in Christ Jesus, your worship is in vain. And how are you in Christ Jesus? Not by joining a church. It's not by joining any church. It's by coming to Christ. And you can join a church and may not be in Christ. Make your calling and election sure. How do you become a member of Christ? It's the same way you became a member of your family. Why are you bearing the name of your father? Who are going to ask now? What will be your... I like your voice. I like your voice. Let's hear you. I love your voice. Your father's name?
Eliezer.
This microphone, no good. What's your father's name?
Eliezer.
How did you become part of that family?
Through birth.
By birth. Yes. By birth. Yes. You were born into that family. You did not join that family. You did not join. If we are to join, then you will know why some people will never join Pride Assembly. You will know why everybody would like to join Redeem or Catholic. You can join Catholic. You can join Choosing. You can join Assemblies, but you cannot join Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Hallelujah. If I had a choice to join a family, now that kind of family won't put me up for go join. I will go to an American family. Do you understand what I mean? I will go to the Queen of England and join her family. But it's true now. Unfortunately, you can't join and become part of that family. The man there will never be your father because you join. No matter how kind he is, and you decided, I love this man so much, and you drop your own name and decide to go and join them, you can never be part of that family like that. You must be born into that family. Hallelujah. Before you can be part of that family. By one spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13, are we baptized into Christ? Into Christ. Unless you are born again by the baptism of the Holy Ghost into the body. It's a spiritual birth. You are only a church member. And the only church members, instead of carrying Jesus Christ on their head, they carry their churches on their head. Carry your church on your head. I am a bride. And you are proud. You are more proud to identify with your church than with the Savior of mankind. Oh, and unknown to you, there is no Catholic in heaven. So no matter what position you hold in your church, the night of Saint anything, it has no bearing
with your recognition in heaven. The only thing that recognizes you in heaven is the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. That gives you recognition in heaven. We have not the Spirit of Christ, Romans 8 verse 9, you are none of His. You don't have the blood of your father in you, He's not your father. You must have the gene of your father in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So all this nonsense people do and think that they are Christians, let's get out of it. And all of them, thousands, hundreds of thousands of them, gathering there, show them Bible, they will refuse. And you are wondering what is happening. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Now, I'm aware that I'm not just talking to this crowd here this morning. We're speaking to the bride of Jesus Christ worldwide. It's time for them to hear something. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, verse 7. When I read it up to verse 12, and catch what Apostle Paul, who was so deep in revelation, catch what he's saying. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work at that time. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That is the Holy Ghost. And then, after he is taken out of the way, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan. Listen carefully from here. With all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Listen, verse 10. And with all deceivableness, that is deceitfulness of unrighteousness, in them that perish. Because you can only do that around those who have been ordained to perish. Deceitfulness. You cannot deceive an elect. You can only be doing that abracadabra around the people that have been ordained to be destroyed. Hallelujah. No, you know it. The true elect can never, you cannot use any gift of the Spirit and deceive him or her. You know it. Hallelujah. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Can you see? Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them what? Strong delusion that they should believe a lie. God himself will do something. Send them a delusion. Something that will make them to believe a lie. God will deceive them with a lie. Why? Because they have no love for truth. They're the only ones that we gather like that. And anything goes. Anything goes. Anything goes. Let me read the last verse there. Verse 11 again. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. You have pleasure in unrighteousness. Every human being, that anyone that reads this Bible, that holds this Bible, you know what God expects from you as a Christian and what God hates. Every one of us, every fornicator that goes to church knows that the Bible is against fornication. Yes. Every liar knows that liars will go to hell. Married man, married woman that goes to sleep with a man, another woman, all adulterers and adulteresses, You know the Bible is against it. Every drunkard, the Bible said, none of you will go to heaven. Everyone listening to me now, you know the Bible said it. But you have pleasure in unrighteousness. Every woman knows that her body is sacred. Every woman, you know that you should not dress like a prostitute. The Bible says there is the attire of a harlot. And the attire of a harlot is supposed to be an attire that will attract her customers. Because that is her trade. You must advertise your business. And you are going to church and you dress naked. And you are going to church and you dress to expose your body. You know what you are doing is wrong, but you have pleasure in unrighteousness. You know it. You know. You are courting one another. You know the boundaries of that relationship. But you bypass those boundaries. You cross over those boundaries. And you begin to sleep with one another. I told you some time ago, a sister walked to me, lamenting and regretting, crying. What happened? Said that a brother slept with her, and she feels defiled, and she wanted to confess. And she confessed, and I prayed with her. Go and sin no more. Now the question is, she came. Why didn't the brother come? Till today, the brother never come. That's the difference between a sheep and a goat. When a sheep is stained, it's uncomfortable until he cleaned it up. Your conscience will disturb you until you confess. But a goat, the color, papa, na color of dirty. So if the teeth are there, who goes here? He's enjoying it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And yet they are sitting down. And when I speak, I am not only speaking about people out there. We must bring it home always here. Bring it home to our own home. Charity begins at home. You may be sitting down here and you are deluded and you don't know it. But looking at the church generally, praise the Lord, there are many of Christians that have been deluded and they don't even know it. He said, because they have no love for truth. He said, he, God, will give them over to a delusion to make them believe a lie. He will do something on those body of believers that will make them to believe the lie that that liar is telling them. Their pastor. You are dressing like a prostitute. And the man is saying, no, 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 it doesn't matter. You are palming your hair, looking like prostitutes. Everything around you is worldliness. I had a man of God that says he's not after, he's not into that kind of gospel that says women should not wear trousers. No, 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 no. The way he dismisses it. No, 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 no. I can dress and look fine. I forget that type of gospel. And I say, hey, man, you are confirming Bible. He's confirming Bible. It doesn't matter. He's saying it doesn't matter. And yet, those people are believing him in his lie. But they are believing by a delusion caused by God himself. That is what we see in 1 Kings chapter 22. The story of Ahab and his 400 prophets and Micaiah. And you can read it on your own. 1 Kings chapter 21 and chapter 22. In chapter 21, Ahab wanted to take the vineyard, the plot of land, the farmland that belonged to Naboth, which was adjacent to his palace. But he called Naboth and offered him up. Naboth said it is what he inherited for his father. He can't sell his inheritance. He was so sad. And under the advice of his wife, Jezebel, they went, planned, and killed Naboth And the woman came and said, now that man is dead. Go and take over the land. On his way to go and take over the land, Elijah the Tishbite went and stopped him. On that thought said the Lord, you have killed and you want to go and take over Abi? And wired him God's judgment. Where does leaked the blood of Naboth? That is where your own blood too will be leaked. And now your woman, Jezebel, at Jezreel also, with dogs also, eat her own flesh. And spoke concerning his children after him and everything. The judgment was horrible. You read it until the man was shaking and quaking. But notice, when Elijah was coming to meet him, there was a statement he made when he jammed him. Oh, my enemy, you have found me, Abi. Ahab, the king, was telling somebody who normally tells him the truth. You have found me, Abi. They never like truth. They never like truth. He did not like Elijah. But the same gift that Elijah had, there were 400 prophets that had the same gift. He didn't have a problem with those ones. He loved those ones. They were always eating dinner with him. He was always paying them his tithe. He was always visiting their churches. He was always in their services. He would kneel down at their altar. The king of Israel would kneel down. And one of the prophets will lay hand and the whole newspapers will carry it to show you how great he is. Praise the Lord.
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
My
Father and my God, you own my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. To worship
because you love me so.
Praise the Lord. And Ahab was giving them national award. So some of them were MFR. Some of them were CON. Some of them was MON. And every award you can think of. Very close. But Elijah, hey, you're my enemy. But yet, he believed Elijah because when Elijah gave that prophecy, he was shaken. And after that prophecy, 3 years passed. 3 years passed. And it looked as if God has forgotten that prophecy. Suddenly, Jehoshaphat came to visit King Ahab, two kings of Israel. And then, it was then that Ahab remembered that there's a piece of land very near them that was under the control of the Syrian people. They said, you know that land belonged to us. He said, let's go together and claim back that land. And as it is in Israel, Jehoshaphat said, let's go and inquire now whether the battle will go win or not, because now battle. He said, yes, inquire, then plenty. How many did he gather? 400 prophets. Listen, church, before he gathered them, as soon as he was discussing that with Jehoshaphat, God said, opportunity has come. He gathered the host of heaven to the right, to the left, plenty. If you read that story, and told them, he said, hey, what shall we do to make Ahab go for that battle and go and die there? Hey, Jesus, would you fear God? What shall we do? And then he was having a meeting. And sometimes God will descend to that level and have meeting with his children.
Does it mean he didn't know what to do? No, sometimes he lost fellowship. Praise the Lord. And then, this one brought this idea. They said, this one no go work. This one brought this idea. But there is a demon that goeth to and fro without an address. Hallelujah. Anytime the children of God gather, he's here now. To and fro. If you keep your hand back, anyhow, you go thief your phone. He's here now. Inside church, then they thief. They're not afraid of anything. God is having a meeting in heaven. He goes to see what they talk. His spirit came. Shia. Okay, I know what to do. He said what? He said, I will go to those his prophets and prophesy lies and cause them to speak to Ahab so that he will go for that battle. And God said, that's a very fine idea. That's why I created you. It's for moments like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, go. God is saying, go. Who sent that spirit? God. Who sent that anointing? God. What was he supposed to achieve? To enter those 400 prophets to see road for Ahab. So that Ahab, believing that lie, will go for that battle and go there and die. The delusion to make him believe a lie. 400 of them were prophesying. Shake their head, shake. Road open, go, road open, 400! And yet, the Bible says only 2 or 3, the amount of 2 or 3 is enough. But this one, 400. So, that you are many preaching the kind of gospel you people are preaching is not a sign of approval from God. No matter what your gathering looks like, pastors and prophets and geos and bishops and archbishops, whatever is your configuration, whatever is your composition, that you are many is not the evidence, because there was 400 of them and only one Micaiah. 400. Said, is there no person apart from these 400? He said there is one, but that one doesn't talk anything good. I've had people, ministers from denominational churches, that man, when you say you're from Bright, met some of our ministers, they say, you see not that man, Moses, Pastor Moses said, don't mind that Abraham people, all they do is just condemn. So they know us, that all we do is just condemn. Yes, there must be a Micaiah on the land. God must not live, he cannot live himself without a witness. And Micaiah came and gave a contrary prophecy to 400 people. And told them, better go back, Israel. I see, as I enter spirit, I see Israel scattered as a sheep without shepherd. He said, the Lord said, let everyone go back to your houses, for you have no shepherd. No matter what title your pastor maybe carry, he may be on his own and you don't even know it. God may not be behind him. Amen. And we know that you can read the remaining story, but the emphasis there is that those 400 made Ahab to go for that battle. And Ahab went there and died. And let me quickly add, in that story, there was some very interesting aspect of that story. But there's no time to go into details. You read it and digest the impact of that story. Because there was something that happened. No matter what they condemn us, they know that what we are saying is the truth. No matter how they condemn William Branham, they know what he's saying, they know it's the truth. They may not proclaim it, but deep inside they know it is true. How do I know? Micaiah gave his revelation. And they said, bind him and put him inside the prison till we come back. Of course, Micaiah said, that's if you come back alive. Praise the Lord.
They slapped him, they battered him, put him inside prison. But if you believe those 400 prophets, Ahab, why did you disguise yourself in the battle? Now. He called Jehoshaphat. I said, Jehoshaphat, come. You know these people, they go, they look for. So you dress like the king. Because in all battles in Israel, the king leads in the battle. So you dress. And the enemy knows, once you can get the king, the battle is over. And he knows they will come after him. Then he told Jehoshaphat, you dress like a king. Why me, I go just dress normal, this is so that I can disguise. Why? And these serpents are very smart. Very smart. Be careful who you yoke yourself with. They will land you into trouble and pull out and leave you there. Praise the Lord. So he believed Micaiah. He believed Micaiah. And followed Micaiah. Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat agreed and dressed like that. Until they reached battlefield. And the Syrian soldiers saw Jehoshaphat dressed. They shouted, that is the king. They became pursuing. Now that time Jehoshaphat began to speak in tongue. I am not Ahab. Started to cry, oh Lord, have mercy. I don't know why I came here. Oh Lord. And when they pursue him, they actually saw that it was not Ahab. And then they left him. The Bible says it was one soldier, Syrian soldier, that just carried his spear. Oh, which way? Oh, Tanini, Biko Amala, Ma, Dirama. Hey, Ahab, wherever you are, tower. He said by venture, don't throw away like that. And the Holy Ghost took over and directed that wherever Ahab is, you cannot hide from God. I say you cannot hide from God. Wherever you are, the time of judgment will come, you cannot hide from him. And that arrow that was thrown anyhow, the Holy Ghost used it and located where he was and struck him there. But I'm looking at being deceived by God. It was God that did that deceit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because the Bible is in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18. Let's read it. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cut rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. He said, woe to them that put darkness for light and light for darkness. He said, woe to them that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Is that not what is happening in the churches? Verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. We justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoured the stubble, and the flame consumed the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this is his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. As the word of the Lord. If you go to Matthew chapter 23, if you read it on your own from verse 25, it was to the Pharisees. Jesus Christ was repeating almost the same. Woe. Who was he giving that word to? To the religious people of that hour. Woe to you. He called them hypocrites. He called them ye generation of vipers. And they were religious people. Amen. having a God form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, woe to them. Woe. Woe to them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See another instance where he deceived the Jews. In Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 8. After he saw the throne of God, and his tongue was consecrated, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, tell the Jews, prophecy. This more than 700 years before it came to pass, this prophecy. Go and tell these people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see you indeed, but perceive not. He said, make the heart of these people fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? That is, how long will their understanding be closed like that? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a grave forsaken in the midst of the land. That is when the thing will be over. Prophesy, their eyes, their ears, their understanding will be closed like that, so that they will never understand, and by understanding get themselves converted. Until when? He said, until the city is destroyed and wasted. And you know that prophecy was fulfilled. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Until 1870, when that Roman general came and destroyed that city. Destroyed the whole place. Wasted the whole place. Scattered them abroad. From 1870 until 1948. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So that you now understand Matthew 13. That was the fulfillment. Why I'm bringing this is for you to know how that you cannot overstretch God. When God gives you opportunity to repent, right before your face, you turn it down. Then he must do something to make you go the way you have chosen to go. And that's exactly what he did with the Jews. Chapter 13. Verse 9. After he gave the parable of the soils, he ended by saying, who had ears to hear, let him hear. I don't know how many people have ears to hear. Can I see your hand? How many people? That is, what it means is that you are understanding what I am saying now. You're understanding what I am saying. And how do I know you understand? Praise the Lord. Go back to the message that I preached. I titled being convinced and concerned. If you have heard the word of God in its right perceptive, you've received it the way you should receive. You heard it. Not through the physical ear, but the spiritual ear. It will bring a conviction inside of you. You will be convinced that what he's saying is true. Then you will be convicted. Get my English. You can never be convicted until you are convinced. You can never be convicted until you are convinced. And repentance must first start with you being convinced. Convinced is to agree. To be convinced is to agree that what they are saying is true. That is the meaning of convinced. That is, you agree without reservation that what the gospel is saying is true. What the Bible is saying is true. You are convinced. And now when you are convinced, it is then you can be convicted. And to be convicted is to an estate where you are sentenced. Where you will say, yes, I deserve to go to hell. And it is in that estate that you will now turn and look at the mercy of God. That tells you, you deserve to go to hell, but I will not send you to hell. I love you. If you can repent. It is in that estate of conviction that you receive salvation. If there is no conviction, there will never be salvation. Salvation, I repeat, is a hallmark of conviction. You are not convinced. You come to church and you are still living the life of unbelievers. You know you are only a religious person. You are not yet convinced that fornicators will go to hell. That is why. You are not yet convinced that there are certain things that God hates. And that He is the same yesterday, today and forever. And those who did it in old time, see how they ended up. And you have to be convinced that all those who do it now, they will end up like those people who did it before. And how they ended up. Sodomy, lesbianism, homosexualism. Sodom and Gomorrah is there as a witness for every Sodomite. You are not convinced that that story is true. That's why you are not convicted to stop being a lesbian again. You are still stealing. You are still drinking alcohol. Because you are not yet convicted. You are not yet convinced. And those who are convicted, when you call altar call, they come there with broken hearts. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He's not to come with leg. He's not calling you from your leg. He's calling from your heart. From the heart. That is where he's interested in. For out of the abundance of the heart. The heart. It is the heart. Just people are just going to churches and just religion. Nothing but religion. As if when you put a clock, a religious clock on you, identity of a religion in you, that gives you salvation. Does not give you salvation. Anything that you occupy, any office in the church has no bearing with your salvation. Anything. Anything. It is your heart. Because there are people that are sitting at the pulpit and they are fornicating. Why I always have a fornication is because of the thing why they hear. And I will never stop. I will continue to say so that the day you are burning in hellfire, you will remember Pastor Moses was saying it to every service. Go talk. And why I hate it is because it is fornication that has reduced man to the estate that we are in today. You don't believe that story. That's why you've not hated fornication. God hates anyone that commits sexual sin. God hates it. That is the root of our problem. Foundational cause. You are going to foundational cause. A prophet said, "Now foundation. My problem is my foundation. The foundation. That now another foundation with that the real foundation was in the Garden of Eden. And it took the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer the things that he suffered. The things that he suffered on the cross of Calvary. They beat him shaking. They nailed him, his enemies slapped. They caned him. They humiliated that man for doing nothing. They tried to look for something to label him. They could find nothing. He suffered all that humiliation. For you and for me. For us. He went to the cross on Calvary. And people don't understand what it means that you cannot strike him a second time. You are putting the name of the Lord to shame. You are striking him a second time. Anytime you do something, an unbeliever laughing at you and you say, "Be Christian," you are putting the name of the Lord to shame. You are striking him a second time. He cannot be stricken a second time. You can't strike him two times. The life that you live, you have not yet appreciated what happened on the cross on Calvary, that's why. Let somebody know that the offer is given to you now to stand for truth. You have chosen your own idol in your heart. That is the way you will end up. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? It's destruction. It's a way of destruction. A way of destruction. And verse 9. Who had ears to hear? Let him hear. Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? God deceiving man. God can deceive man that refuse truth. He knows who every one of them was that were following him. He knew some were following him because of miracles. Some are following him when they are hungry. That is when they remember church. Some of you sitting down here now, you are close to all of us that are ministers, that are gifted. Until you get what you are looking for, we will not see you again. The next thing is you will call us, say, I was in bright now, that time. You don't remember me? When you call like that, we're going to talk among this. Our mother say, trouble don't come. You don't remember? That's how they relate with God. No relationship except there is a need. No relationship unless there is a need. Once that need is supplied, bye-bye, till another problem come again. But that church, oh, God did there. Kai. Anytime you have problem, they go about looking for people who have problem. Hey, you get problem, make I give you one address. Go bright. All your problem will go. That is what they know Jesus for. Problem. And Jesus saw that crowd that were following him. Because it's not all that should be saved. So, if we... I've stressed this several times to, you know, arouse your curiosity that everything, statement in the Bible that pertain to true salvation, that God will speak it in a parable. Watch it. But the one that is for prosperity, chap, 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 no interpretation. Say it. Just say it. Say it and keep saying it and it will come to pass. But the one that will take you to heaven in parables. That is why the sin that reduced man to the way we are is spoken in parable. Of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you should not eat it. You should not eat. The day you eat, that day you will die. Now, look at it now. They ate it. Now, by man's knowledge of eating and by man's knowledge of dying, when they ate it that day, did they die? They didn't die. You see? Did they die? They didn't die. They lived even 900 years after. So they didn't die. So it means that eat is not like food where they eat. That die is not like physical die where they know some person don't die. Something happened there. Until you understand what happened, you will not know why you must be born again. And coming, and you don't know that is the beginning of the entrance of Satan into mankind. Written in parables. Go to the book of Revelation, the same thing. The end of Satan's manipulation of mankind is in the book of Revelation. That is where the activities that will end him on earth here, and the activities that will take us away from earth here, everything there is written again in symbols. So he came now. I was talking to them and began to tell them the parable of soil. And when he finished, he just spoke to them in parable, but he did not give them the meaning of that parable. So, everyone that left
that crusade that day have their own private interpretation. Am I correct? If you ask Deeper Life, they have their own understanding of marriage and divorce. If you marry more than three wives, you give your life to Christ, drive away two. Now the first one only be your own. And when they are preaching, you think they are saying something in the Bible. Holy, holy, holy God in three persons, blessed Trinity. How you think that they are singing a scriptural song? Go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. According to the Bible, I baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Put inside water and come out. And they think they have baptized. Why didn't Jesus say it in another way? But he said it in that way to cause confusion. And the disciples asked him, come, why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Church, if that scripture does not make you shake, any Bible student here, nothing more in the Bible will make you shake. People are following Jesus, and he's saying that the mystery of the kingdom, they should not know it. Only you that I have called. For whosoever had, to him shall be given. I shall have more abundance. But whosoever had not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they see not. That is, they see, but they don't understand. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. That is Isaiah chapter 6. Where we read. We said, by hearing ye shall hear. Hallelujah. By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. And should be converted, and I should heal them. But, bread assembly, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable, spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. What does he do? He blinds the people so that they will not see and get converted. Why? Because they are ordained to go to hell. So there are people that are following Jesus, but they are ordained to go to hell. Yes. So how would they go to hell? God himself will deceive them. God himself will deceive them. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another way that he deceives them is that he uses foolish things to confound the wise. Go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 18, read it up to verse 29. You want to see God, church. God is known in simplicity. When you are weak, then, hallelujah, God's strength is demonstrated in your weakness. Oh, that's another sermon entirely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His strength is made perfect in weakness. He told Apostle Paul so. Amen. They told, they said, physician, heal thyself. Jesus said, I was hanging on the cross on Calvary. If you say you're the Son of God, do this now. Apostle Paul, that handkerchiefs from his pocket were healing the sick. His shadow, they were healing, the cripples were raising up. Mighty miracle signs and wonders. He's praying for people that are receiving healing, but his own eye, he had his own thorn in his flesh. The thorn in his flesh was his eye problem. The light that struck him on the day on his way to Damascus left an injury in his eye that affected his sight. He said he cried unto the Lord 3 times. God refused to answer him. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient for you. That's what he told him. So, Paul then got to know that God's strength is perfected in weakness. So that they will know this is God. So that no man will take glory. And I say this because those of us that God is using, unless we catch that, we will never grow in the ministry. I'm telling you, that is the truth. It's something I have caught by myself. Always know that when God wants to move, he will move in a way that man will know this is beyond man. Watch in the Bible, how many people do you see, and even in church history, how many people do you see that God used mightily that they were big intellectuals and philosophers? No. He said, we are the wise of this world. Where is their wisdom? He, God, turned their wisdom to foolishness. The mighty God that has the ability to do and undo, that can under 1 second convert every sinner to become a saint. Instead, he has decided to adopt a method that looks as if he is begging people to give their life to Christ. He is sending people instead. God wants to save somebody, he will anoint a man to go to you and preach. And he could take 1 week trying to convince you. After a long time, he may get 3 souls there. And it looks as if God does not have the ability. It is God walking in simplicity. The creator of the heavens and the earth was coming among men. One would have expected him to go in some mighty glory. But he came, not even in a mighty, or some big families, some noble families, but he came in the family of a carpenter, a poor man. And that's why they could not accept him. So God himself deceived the very religious people at that time so that they will not recognize him, that he was the one in their midst, Emmanuel. And that is why up till now they have refused to accept him as the Savior. Some believe that he died because he was a criminal. But you and I, with ears that we understand, we know better. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did that to confound the wise. He said, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But he made sure they didn't know. And because they didn't know, they treated him the way they treated him. And they ended up in those sufferings that they went through. God had the ability to make them to know him. But because they were not the people that were ready for truth, so he came himself and deceived them, so that they will not understand who he was. Ah, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I want you to note, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I like that verse 13, verse 14, and verse 15. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, church, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation. Your own way that God has chosen you for salvation, this is how he chose you, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We are ordained. Hallelujah. We are God's elect. He chose us, not the way that others, that they have been deceived. Through sanctification. That is the process.
through sanctification of the Spirit, holy living, holy life. You can't come to God anyhow. Anyone that will come to God, God will reveal to you that He is a holy God. And He chooses you to come to Him through a sanctified life and belief of the truth. Anywhere the truth is spoken, you will catch it. You will obey it. It's God that has put that in you, because already in you, you are looking for truth. But those who are just looking for church to join, those who are just looking for religion, those who just, you know, want to follow Christ but add their own nature to it, He decided to give them their own 400 prophets of Ahab. To deceive them, decided to delude all of them. But you and I that have the opportunity to hear what you are hearing now, God has called us from the beginning, before the foundation of the world. You whose names are written in the book of life, holiness is your watchword. And truth is what you are looking for, no matter how painful it will be. If it is me, truth is truth. Truth is truth. There are some messages when I preach here, when I reach house, my wife will say, "That's the way they talk." I know, say that to yourself at the talk. I say, "Yes, now me and the wire. I'm guilty of that thing that makes me talk and the way I talk. So make this body hear him. I will not go to heaven because I am a pastor. No. I have listened to one of my daughters came to the sitting room, and then I was watching the television station, a sermon that I was preaching. And then I was jotting down some things. And then she came. She said, "Your own sermon, and you are jotting down notes as you are hearing again." I said, "You will not understand. There are some things there where they talk, where I didn't even know the impact of what I was saying. Now, as I hear, then the thing they strike me." Praise the Lord. I have listened to my own message. When I preached, I collected the tape. I was listening in the night. Before the message finished, I realized I was on my knees praying and crying. "Lord, save me. Lord, let me not say these things and end up in hell." I was crying. Because I found that I was guilty of some of those things too, I was saying. And I must not be a hypocrite. Not be me talking and saying, "The Spirit called me idolatry. You are an idol worshiper. You'll be doing some things because you're a minister of God, doing some things anyhow. And you don't know you are going off the boundary without even knowing." But He's a merciful God. Through sanctification of the Spirit, that is how He calls us. Holiness is your watchword. And believe of the truth, no matter how bitter it is. After all, the truth is sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the belly. From that book. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me finish that reading. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. He says, stand fast and hold the tradition. Don't throw it away and hold on to some modern Christianity. Don't throw the teachings of the apostles away. For He is the source certain. If any man preaches any other thing, Galatians chapter 1, or that contrary to what we have preached, He said, let that person be accursed. The certainty of what they preached. Hold on to it. Anything the Spirit speaks to you, anything you hear in the Spirit, make sure it is not contrary to the Bible. That is the ancient landmark. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And He said you should not remove it. Don't remove the ancient landmarks. The Bible says so. Don't. They travel that way. We are coming behind them. We will follow the same way. And we will end up where they ended up. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, we have not funny, cunningly devised fables. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Apostle Peter was saying it. He said, the certainty of what we are telling you, say, they were eyewitnesses He even made example that the day that God came down, that he was in the mountain with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mount Transfiguration, when the voice spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." He said, "We are not following cunningly devised fables." He is an eyewitness. He had it. He was there. Such a thing that Peter will speak, therefore, when he said, "Be diligent to make your calling and election sure," you know he knows what he's saying. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, "Add to your faith virtue, the stature of perfection." Grow like that, grow like that. The pathway we are following is different from their pathway. The bride of Jesus Christ in this age, that is why we are not a denomination. Don't you try to turn this ministry to go their own way. No! There's a different anointing that is gathering them. It's different from the anointing that is gathering us. They are being deceived by God Himself. By God Himself. All those worldly pastors, they are anointed by God to gather a people that are bound to go to hell. To make them believe a lie, He anoints them. So after telling them all the lies, then He demonstrates the power of the Holy Ghost. How will you say God is not with him? God with him. It is that anointing that is the spirit to deceive them, to make them believe a lie. That is the spirit of delusion. May God not deceive you. Can we stand up? Just take this one prayer point. Let me never go in error. Let me not join those that are deceived. I have made up my mind to serve you. Lead me aright. Just 2 minutes, offer that prayer before we share the grace with somebody. Let every true child of God here offer that prayer. I don't want to be a religious person. I don't want to go in error. I don't want to be deluded. I don't want to be among those you would deceive because they refuse the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.